The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hi, this is Jerry from Remnant. Let's be honest, this life can be hectic, draining, and downright confusing. My hope is that by listening to this message, your life can be impacted by God's great love for you, and His love will give you wisdom, courage, and strength. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Godsey.
Good morning. Good to have you here. We're going to kick off lesson 9 today. It's been a lot of lessons. Lesson 9. And the title for today, let me get this set up here. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. And this is some pretty important stuff today. So let's open up with a word of prayer and get going, okay? Father, thank you for your love and your grace, the way that you love us, God. And this lesson really points out that love, how you've accepted us and how you're going to allow us into your kingdom. So God, help us now to hear from you. Bless our hearts, God. We ask it in your name. Amen. Amen. All right. So there are two events in the life of Christ that every believer celebrates. The first is His coming, you know, Bethlehem and the manger, the incarnation, Christmas. But there's another coming that the Bible talks about even more than the first. The Bible talks more about the second coming than it does His initial coming. The creed declares He will come again to judge the living and the dead. Now, if we're honest, this isn't always people's favorite doctrine because it includes the word judgment. We love talking about God's love. We love talking about God's grace and heaven and all that good stuff. But judgment, well, we're not crazy about that. But the early church considered Christ's return so important that they included it in one of the earliest summaries of Christian belief. Why? Oh, we forgot to read the creed. You know the creed by now. Because if Jesus is truly Lord, then history must eventually come to the moment when every knee bows and every tongue confesses that He is King. Understand, all the things we've led up to this point, all the doctrines we've discussed to this point, all lead us to here. Born of a virgin, died and rose again, and now He's going to come again, and He's going to judge. And so, that's hard, but that's where we're headed, okay? So let's look at this. First of all, Jesus is coming again. This is so wonderfully simple. Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. Acts chapter 1, verse 11, which we've been in quite a bit. Men of Galilee, they said, why are you standing here? These are the angels. Men of Galilee, they said, why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven. But someday He will return from heaven in the same way you saw Him go. Now this verse is pivotal because it means, first of all, the return of Christ is not symbolic. It's not merely spiritual. It is a real event that will occur in history. It's not if it's going to happen, it's when. Imagine a loved one going off on a long journey, but before they go, they tell you, I'll be back. Kind of like Arnold Schwarzenegger, I'll be back. See, those words change everything because there's a promise there that they're going to return. You don't act as if they're gone forever. Now you just live in anticipation. When are they coming back? That is the Christian life. We are living in anticipation. We're living in anticipation. Jesus said, I'm coming back. Now we're just waiting for the day that it happens. every day brings us closer, brings us one day closer to the return of Christ. Now, over the years, there have been a lot of people who tried to predict when Jesus was coming. And I've seen all of it. Hal Lindsey wrote a book called The Late Great Planet Earth, and then he continued writing books where he talked about all the signs that led up to when Jesus was coming back, and how he knew it was going to be during this time period because of all this other stuff. And I have a friend who said, Hal Lindsey knows more about when Jesus is coming back than Jesus does. Because there's one thing that church history proves, it's this. If somebody says they know the date, they don't. Jesus himself said, no one knows the day or the hour. Look at Matthew 24, 36. However, no one knows the day or hour when these things will happen, not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself. Only the Father knows. Jesus doesn't know when he's coming back. That is something the Father is holding close to him in abeyance. He's holding on to that till one day he says, all right, everybody out of the pool. If Jesus himself doesn't know, some yokel down the street who thinks he knows prophecy doesn't know either. I know a lot of people love prophecy. Oh, well, let's talk about how all the stars line up, and let's talk about how this is going to happen and this is going to happen. You know what? I look, here's one thing I know about prophecy. I don't know anything about prophecy. I mean, I know some things, but not enough to say that for sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, this leads to this. I'd much rather teach you when I teach. I'd much rather teach you how to live today and be ready for when the prophecies come around. A lot of these guys are so spiritually minded, they're no earthly good. I want to help you live today on this planet in the most godly way possible and help you lead others to Christ, because that's what we're supposed to be doing. Is Jesus coming again? Absolutely. Do I know when? Nope. Not a clue. And it doesn't matter, because God knows when. And when he says it's time to go, it's time to go. So if somebody claims that they figured out using charts and calculators and three verses from the book of Daniel and two from Isaiah and, you know, one that the Lord spoke to them in a heavy revelation, you might want to be cautious. I wouldn't sell the house hoping. Second thing you need to know, Christ will return as king. The first time Jesus came in humility, the second time he's going to come in glory. Look at Revelation 19:11. Oops. What's going on there? Then I saw heaven opened, and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. Does that sound like some little wimpy Casper J. Milquetoast guy? No, that's a king. White horse standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, and he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. Here's the key truth you need to know. The first coming brought salvation. The second coming brings judgment and restoration. Oh, well, Jerry, I don't really like to talk about judgment. Okay. Well, go ahead and stop listening now. By the way, the fact that you just stop listening now doesn't mean that Jesus isn't coming to judge. So you might want to stay tuned. So let's look, contrast these two things that happen, okay? In the first coming, it was a manger. He came in a manger, a little tiny baby, all wrapped up in swaddling clothes. The little, okay. Second coming, he's coming on. He's got a throne. First coming, he was a servant. In the second coming, he's a king. In the first coming, he was rejected by many. and the second king and the second coming, he'll be recognized by everyone. The first coming, I thought I had another point and I don't. Okay. When Jesus first entered Jerusalem, he rode on a donkey. That symbolized peace. When he comes again, he's riding a white horse. He's coming as a conquering king. History will not end in chaos because history ends with Christ. So look, no matter how confusing the world becomes, remember this, the king is coming. That should bring you hope. Man, you can look at the world right now and see that it is just a madhouse. There's nuts. People are nuts out there. But Christ is coming. The King is coming. The King, by the way, that I serve, that you serve, the King is coming. Our King, the King. Now, we have to get into this, okay? Jesus will judge the living and the dead. And let's be honest, this is the part we kind of want to get away from, right? Acts 17:31 says, "For he has set a day for judging the world with justice by the man he has appointed, and he proved to everyone who this is by raising him from the dead." The very first part of that sentence, that verse is what's really important. He has set a day for judging the world with justice. That's Jesus. Now look, justice isn't always bad news. But justice is necessary because God is just. God is righteous. God is fair. Okay? Imagine a judge who never punished evil. Actually, you don't have to look very far. You can look at the headlines. There are a lot of judges. I won't get into that. There are a lot of judges out there who aren't punishing evil. Instead, they're letting evil slide. And they're going to answer for it. Imagine a judge who never punished evil. No matter the crime, no matter the victim, no matter the evidence. Would you call that judge loving? No. We call him corrupt. We call him a moron. We call him all kinds of other things I'm not allowed to say in church. Justice matters. And because God is perfectly good, justice must ultimately prevail. There is no corruption in God. So when God says he's appointed Jesus to judge, it's exactly what it means. And it's going to be fairly. It's going to be by the book. It's going to be by the law. And you're not going to be able to weasel out of it. "Well, I know I did wrong, but I didn't really mean to." Shut up. This is where the rubber meets the road. And all these people that have justified their sin, all these people that have said, "I know what the Bible says, but here's what I really believe in today's world." I got news for you, Sparky. You're not going to be judged by the headlines. You're going to be judged by God's word. And God's word doesn't change. The existence of judgment means evil doesn't win. That's why we shouldn't be afraid of judgment. Sin doesn't win. Injustice doesn't win. God's righteousness will prevail. We don't have to be afraid of judgment because we're covered under the blood of Christ. See, judgment should provide hope for believers. Many Christians get nervous whenever judgment is discussed. But for believers, Christ's return is nothing for us to fear. Look at Romans 8:1. "So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus." And by the way, the verses before that, go back and read the few verses before that, Romans 7, where Paul says, "What a wretched man that I am. The things I don't want to do, I do, and the things I do want to do, I don't." But now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Jesus Christ. Believers don't face judgment as condemned criminals. We stand before God clothed in Christ's righteousness. We stand covered by the blood of Christ. And that makes all the difference in the world. Now, as Christians, we will stand at what they call the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ. But we're not going to be judged for sins. We're going to be judged for our works. And we're going to be rewarded rather than judged for our salvation. Okay? And that is a whole thing that we could get into. Maybe someday I'll do a series on it or something. But right now, here's what you need to know. If you die, or if Christ comes again, and you go stand before God, and you are a Christian, you are following Christ, you get to pass go and collect $200. You get to, you know, there's the one place, go to jail, go to hell, go directly to hell. Let me see, your name in the book? Nope. All right, see ya. Or we would go to the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ. And I remember hearing somebody describe the Bema seat as a place where we weep because of all the times we failed God. And he rewards us because of the times we were faithful. Wow. So that whole judgment seat, imagine standing before, we've talked about it a few weeks ago. Imagine standing before a judge knowing you're guilty. Then someone steps forward and says, I've already paid the penalty. That's what Christ has done. That's why we don't need to fear that judgment. Because Christ has already taken our place. Because of Jesus, believers can anticipate his return with confidence rather than fear. So when we talk about judgment, don't freak out and say, oh, I'm going to be judged. Oh. No. Your works are going to be looked at. Your faithfulness is going to be worked at. But it's for reward, not for judgment. Okay? Now, here's where it gets sticky, because the return of Christ should change how we live. The doctrine of Christ's return isn't just about the future. It's also about today, the present. Look at 1 John 2 and 3. 3, 2 and 3. Dear friends, we are already God's children, but he has not yet shown us what we'll be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is, and all who have this eager expectation will keep themselves pure just as he is pure. And we're okay until we get to verse 3. All who have this eager expectation of Christ's return. I'm ready for Jesus to come back. I'm ready. Okay, that's got to change the way I live today. People who expect Jesus to return live differently. Pure and simple. You ever had a company coming over? Suddenly a house gets cleared. Clean everything up. You dust. Or you shovel. If you're in Imperial Valley, after a windstorm, you don't dust, you shovel. All of a sudden, the laundry disappears. The clutter gets hidden in the closets. Why are you doing all that? Because you're preparing for someone's arrival. Christians should live in preparation for the King's arrival. You won't have time to clean it up when he gets here. So you've got to live in that state of keeping everything in order. Some people clean their house so thoroughly before guests arrive, they create the illusion they've lived that way all year. That is until, you know, some nosy person that's visiting opens the closet and everything falls down on them that you've jammed all your stuff in the closet. They open the closet door and it's like the old radio show, Fibber McGee. He would open the closet and you would hear bang, 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 as everything fell out of the closet. The return of Christ calls us to genuine readiness, not spiritual staging. Jesus is going to come and he's going to see how you really live. He knows how you really live. He watches you every day. That's why it cracks me up so much when I hear people get up to pray in church. You know, brother so-and-so, thankfully at Remnant, we don't take an offering, so we don't have people pray over the offering. But, you know, Lord, we lovest thou, and we ask that thine in thy own blessed good guidance, God. And after a while, you're like, what? I actually had to say, I had a guy say during the offering one day, And Lord, as you freed the Israelites from the slavery of the, as you freed the Egyptians from the slavery of the Israelites, and I'm on the platform looking at him, I don't think you got that verse right. Quit trying to put on airs. God knows who you are. He watches you all the time. I want you to ask yourself this. If Jesus returned today, would I be ashamed of how I've been living? Or would I be excited to see him? Ow. Here, you know what? I'll just erase all that. Okay. No, I won't. Would you be embarrassed about how you've been living? Or would you be excited to see him? The return of Christ brings ultimate justice. Now, one reason believers long for Christ's return is because we live in a broken world. I have seen my time in the crime scene unit at the sheriff's office. I saw enough broken world to last me for a lifetime. We live in a lost and broken world. Revelation 21:4 says, he will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. The key truth here is that the return of Christ means every wrong will ultimately be made right. I think I asked this a couple of weeks ago about his death. You ever seen a story end badly and thought, well, that can't be the ending? The second coming reminds us this is not the final chapter. God's still writing the story. Look, when life feels unfair, just remember this. The judge of the earth will do right. Look, I may do wrong. I will do wrong. People that you know may disappoint you. People that are around you may do things that you think, well, why'd they do that? That's not right. But God will always do right. He will always be just. He will always be the one who you can count on. He will bring justice. Is justice fair? Absolutely. Do we like it? Ooh, probably not. So let's bring it all together. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. So what does this mean? It means that Jesus is returning, that Jesus is king, that Jesus will judge righteously, justice will prevail, and believers can live with hope. Hope. Why hope? Because in the end, God's going to take this broken world and he's going to fix it. He's going to make it right. During World War II, many families, and really any time of war, many families waited anxiously for soldiers to return home. Days became weeks, weeks became months. Every letter they received was treasured. Every report was watched carefully. Then one day, a train would arrive. A ship would dock. A soldier would walk through the door. The waiting was over. The reunion had come. I love those videos on YouTube. I cry like a baby every time I see them, where a soldier's been on deployment for a long time and then, you know, they sneak him into his kid's school or you know, he surprises his wife. I cry every time. Can you imagine the reunion we're going to have when we get to heaven? The church has been waiting over 2,000 years for Christ to return. Generation after generation has repeated the same promise. He'll come again. One day the waiting will end. One day faith will become sight. One day the king will return. And you know what? They were right then, and we're right now. One day he will return. Do we know when? Nope. I'll tell you when he's going to come. He's going to come on February 30th, 2027. So mark your calendars, get ready for it. February 30th, 2027, probably about 9 o'clock Pacific time. I'll leave that to you to figure it out on your own. February 30th, 2027, 9 o'clock Pacific time. So what does all this mean? First of all, we got to live ready. I don't know where that came from. Actually, that's from last week. It shouldn't be in there. All right, live ready. Say it with me, just a well-oiled machine. What are we supposed to do? Live ready. Live faithfully. Live expectantly. Because Jesus didn't simply come once. He's coming again. Why look to the skies? He's not there anymore. But one day he will return. This time in power and great glory. All right, so let's do some discussion questions. First of all, why is the return of Christ an essential part of Christian belief? Why does this mean so much to us? There's a lot there that you can really plow through. How does God's judgment demonstrate his justice? Yeesh. Why should believers anticipate Christ's return with hope rather than fear? How would your daily choices change if you lived with a greater awareness of Christ's return? That's where the rubber meets the road, isn't it? Finally, what encouragement do you find in knowing that Jesus will ultimately make all things right? One day, he's going to make everything right. Next week, I believe in the Holy Spirit. The coming of Christ is something we need to prepare for, be ready for, and expect. We get caught up in our day-to-day life so much that we forget that one day this is all over with. Don't spend so much time making sure that everything's taken care of today that you forget to take care of the future, to take care of your eternity. Okay? Let's pray. God, thank you so much. We love you, Lord, and you're so good to us. God, I pray that you would make us aware that you're going to make things right. None of this comes as a surprise to you. You're not shocked. God, we need to be ready. We need to be living ready, not just quickly trying to shove things under the couch and in closets because we know you're coming. Because we don't know when. If we stay ready, we don't have to get ready. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that. God, I pray that you'll help us take this all to heart and make some changes that we need to make. Thanks, God. We ask it in your name. Amen. I hope you guys have enjoyed this series like I have. I love getting down into the nitty-gritty of what we believe. This is a good one. Next, you're going to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. It's really good, if I do say so myself. I'll see you then.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us online at remnantchurchiv.com. You built a mighty fortress, 10,000 birds.